I have to say I've been waiting for many, many years to have ARSC experience. Our next speaker, Mark Kanner, who I've known for maybe 15 years or so and finally met 10 years ago at IAJRC conference, where he was able to bring his some excerpts from his amazing film collection of music films, jazz films, etc. I always wanted them to come to ARSC, except that we always hold the session in May, and Mark started school in the public school system in LA, or California, Southern California, and he ended his retirement this last May, actually, as an elementary school teacher in California, so therefore he could never make the sessions, but I hope now that he's retired, he'll come back and join us on a regular basis. Glasses. Anyway, I have a whole bunch of information on Mark. I'll use up all his time if I read all his credentials, but in summary, he was born in LA. For the last 45 years, he's been involved in discovering jazz film, preserving jazz film, collecting jazz film, and making sure we get to see it by helping many documentarians. Ken Burns has used his stuff. There's a series on the Soundies, narrated by Leonard Maltin. He's worked with the Experience Music Project. He's worked with the Northwest Film Society. He also produced the first Playboy Jazz Film Festival in 1995. Does a lot of work, and I sort of tell people, if you want to know Hugh Hefner, ask Mark. Saturday nights, Hefner loves jazz films, and Mark's there to usually help present some of those items. Picking the other highlights on his career, moving forward. He belongs to IAJRC, as I had mentioned. He's written articles for their journal. Hopefully he'll do something for the ARSC journal shortly. He's written liner notes for jazz recordings. He's also assisted in various jazz recording productions. And Mr. Kanner is currently writing a book on Panorama Soundies, which will be the definitive work on these music videos, which are jukebox shorts you'll be learning about shortly in the 40s. I will also say this is sort of a coming attraction for tomorrow night's event from 7:30 till 9 or so. Mark's brought some of his rare collection to share with us. Some of these were shown on Michael Feinstein's recent PBS series. In fact, Feinstein went and visited Mark in his house. So if you haven't seen that series, which is great, you'll get to see Mark again. But here's Mark live.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our afternoon session. It is a program called Music is Where You Find It, Jukebox Shorts of the 1940s. Now, as Steve mentioned, this half-hour film presentation that will follow my introductory comments is sort of drawn from what I think will be the definitive history of jukebox shorts. I'm hoping I can get it out onto the market in around 3 or 4 years. By that time, publishing will be obsolete. And so, I don't know, maybe mental telepathy. What I'd like to do is share some comments, talk to you for around 10 minutes, and then show around 20, 25 minutes of film that illustrates this fascinating topic, jukebox shorts of the 1940s. I have only two favors to ask of you. First, your indulgence for the video quality. Some of these films are one-of-a-kind pieces. They cannot be seen anywhere else because I don't think they exist in other copies. And I'm going to also ask you to not copy these using your iPhone. I have an archive back in Agora Hills that contains close to 5,000 performance clips, and I've been able to assemble this in large part because other collectors trade with me, and often it's with the understanding that I not share with others, that it doesn't end up in an hour and a half on YouTube. If you see something and you say to yourself, I must have that clip, just talk to me. I'm going to be here until Saturday evening, and I'll do the best I can to help you. I do have some notes for you, but I have learned through sharing films for close to 45 years that the notes are best shared after the presentation. So, jukebox shorts of the 1940s. Most of you are familiar with soundies. They were the premier jukebox format during the 1940s, but it just so happens that over the past 15 to 20 years, this term has developed a sort of generic flavor. Anything that's short and musical is a soundie. And that's not true. It couldn't be further from the truth. So let me offer for you a definition of a soundie with two parts. A soundie is a short film around 3 minutes in length that has been copyrighted by the Soundies Distributing Corporation of America. It doesn't matter about the source of this film. There were around 55 companies that produced them. But the copyright is by Soundies Distributing Corporation of America, which is acting on behalf of its parent company, the Mills Novelty Company of Chicago, which produces and sells the Panoram machine, around the size of a contemporary refrigerator, with a screen, put in a dime, watch a 3 minute film. And between January of 1941 and 1947, March of that year, around 1900 soundies are shared via this system. That is not the topic of our program today, although we will be opening up with one soundie. What a lot of people don't realize is that there were a lot of other competing systems during the early and middle part of the soundies experiment, and they're never talked about, but they were there, they were on the scene. And so they deserve some recognition in terms of the presentation of sound musical performances on screen. So what I'd like to do now is share with you a program of seven films. Since most of you are my age, and I know that the memory isn't, the short-term memory doesn't always work, the long-term memory we won't even talk about. On screen, I've got titles that will refresh your memory about what you're seeing, who's in the films, and so on and so forth. We are going to start with an authentic soundie. This comes from 1943. We are in the depth of the recording ban. And soundies have been defined by Petrillo as records. So they had to continue, but using non-union musicians. This lady would soon join the union. Her name was Lynn Albritton. She was a boogie-woogie pianist active in Harlem. A lady named Jeannie Bayer, who was a dancer on the scene, said, yeah, I knew Jeannie. I knew Lynn. She was a great boogie-woogie style pianist, but she worked in these dives that were so awful that even my friends and I would never go and listen to her. So it is Lynn Albritton. She's accompanied by a rhythm section. I would think a couple of guitars, string bass, maybe a drummer using wire brushes, but again, non-union musicians, they're called the Four Knobs. This is her composition called Boogie in C, but they've set this on the street. She's been kicked out of her flat, and the film has been retitled The Dispossessed Blues. Now, that's our only soundie. Remember, a soundie is only a film made for the soundies, the Panoram machine. Now, the first soundie was released in January of 1941. Produced around 6 months earlier. But even earlier than that, in the spring of the year, two gentlemen were experimenting with sound jukebox shorts. William Falkenberg and Raymond LaRose had been involved with a company called Pennyphono, which was a early jukebox experiment. They decided to go into film production for jukebox shorts because we've reached, by the spring of 1940, just critical mass. It's all over the trades. We know it's coming. They decide to produce some films as demonstration pieces to interest investors in terms of a projection device and films. And so they make a series of films, including Arabic music and dance, some Latin American music, some pop music. We're going to see an example of Western swing by a California group called Rudy Suitors Californians. You will get the personnel on screen, but the most important musician here, Suitor aside, is the fiddle player, Mr. Spade Cooley. The print is not in good shape, but my suspicion it's the last remaining print of this film, Rudy Suitors Californians, and an experimental print by a group that's called Musical Shorts Limited. They never went anywhere past these demonstration shorts, and this is called the Looney Cowboy Band. In the fall of this year, another group is organized to produce shorts again to interest investors, led by Mr. Edgar Bergen, the radio ventriloquist. Now, if you can wrap your head around the concept of a radio ventriloquist, you're a better person than I am. That's just a mystery to me. He creates a set of five demonstration pieces, one novelty piece, two Latin American pieces, and two jazz pieces, featuring a lady named Rose Murphy. How many of you know Rose Murphy? Like sushi and avocado, she is an acquired taste. She's accompanied, however, by an orchestra that was generally led by Nat King Cole. Now, regrettably, he has been replaced by her on piano and vocal, but this is his regular group, Oscar Moore and Johnny Miller, with a couple of added attractions. Red Mac Morris is the trumpet player, and the drummer is a very young Chico Hamilton. This is, I think, the only known print of this film. It's Rose Murphy, the King Cole Orchestra, and I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby. Or if you know Rose Murphy, I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Chi-Chi. Fourth in our set, in Hollywood there was a gentleman named Neil McGuire. Now, he was an optical effects expert, not quite good enough to work for MGM or Universal or even Columbia. He worked for the miners. He was the guy who was called in to do optical effects for, y'all remember Monogram? And Tiffany Stahl and Grand National. He worked for the small poverty row companies. He would later produce and direct some soundies, but he put together a company called Phonofilms, which were incredibly cheaply produced. But again, he tried to sell these for distribution, and his company never went anywhere. He uniquely decided not to record soundtracks. He just went out and, in the style of the much beloved Eli Oberstein, just stole them. So the soundtrack here, the film is made in 1940, and I don't know what the audiences must have thought. It's a Victor recording from 1930 by Nat Shilkret and his orchestra called Mama Inez. And of course, as I say, he was a visual effects expert. So he has the very well-known burlesque dancer, Helen Rowland, in a bottle dancing for us. And nothing scandalous here, although it would have been outrageous in 1940. The film is called The Magic Bottle and an example of a phono film. In late 1940, everything was set for the premiere of Soundies, and it was known because it was mentioned in the press that the cost of one film was going to be a dime. And why a company would start up and call themselves nickel talkies is beyond me, because everything was set by that time. But y'all remember Jerry Colonna, Frank Albertson, the character actor, Harold Schuster was a B-movie director, and a group of investors put together nickel talkies and produced a series of films. They had hoped that someone would come in and help them produce a projection machine along with the films, and it never happened. And these films saw limited release, if any at all. But there were quite a few nickel talkies made, some with Cliff Edwards, some with a jazz orchestra led by Billy Marcus that included Andy Sechrist. For you today, I decided to share a novelty harmonica player who was very popular on the radio. His name is Frank Cook, And this is his rather bizarre approach to William Tell Overture by Rossini, correct? By Rossini. So Soundies get their premiere in January of 1941. They are an immediate success, if only because of the novelty, and all of these other companies sort of fall by the wayside, except for two of them. Featurettes keeps on producing films, hoping they can sell them to either the Soundies people or to another concern. They produce actually 48 films. Nothing happens with them. A little more success is encountered by a group called Visigraph, which was headed for a short period of time by Rudy Valley. And they put together 48 films and a projection device. A couple of them were installed in Oakland, a couple in San Diego, I think on military installations. A lot of them were shipped overseas to the South Seas, to Guam and some of the islands in that area. The films are rather bizarre, mostly featuring radio stars and such. We're going to share one today called The Golfer's Lament. The gentleman on screen is credited as Arthur Q. Bryant, but it's actually Arthur Q. Bryan, who is the voice of Elmer Fudd, a voice that was so difficult to replicate that when Mr. Bryan passed away, it was discovered that Mel Blanc couldn't replicate the voice, so away went Elmer Fudd. This is a rather strange piece, Arthur Q. Bryan and The Golfer's Lament. Okay, two more films. Let's skip to 1944. The interest in Panorams and Soundies is still strong, but beginning to wane a little bit. Someone comes up with a bright idea. What can we do to really capitalize our investment? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to put a metal plate on the screen. Originally, the screen was around, nice television size. A group of people could gather in front of the machine and enjoy the Soundies at one time. But we're going to put a plate on the film. We're going to have an eye slit, and we're going to now rename this a peak show, and we're going to show burlesque films. And I thought I would share one of them that would have been absolutely scandalous. Oh my dear, it's Sandra, and she's only dressed in a bikini. We've got to hide that from all interested eyes. The soundtrack here, interestingly enough, was directed, I think, by David Rose, who many years in the future would record The Stripper. So who would have known? The title of the song escapes me. It is so familiar. I'm thinking someone here will recognize it. But it is a small jazz sextet. We don't know the personnel, but it is the luscious Sandra. And then to conclude our program, this is another one-of-a-kind piece, and wonderful and bizarre. It's 1946. The war is over. People are coming back from service, and they're in the hinterlands. They've got families. They're not going out for entertainment as often as before. And so it's becoming increasingly difficult to book bands away from the major urban areas. Ah, so the Amusement Research Corporation of New York City comes up with the amazing Tilo View system, the Tilo View Portable Theater. You rent or buy the Tilo View Portable Theater, and you install it in your recreation hall, in your ballroom. You buy the film. Hi there. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Flo Petty here with my orchestra from New York City. We're happy to have you here tonight. Remember, this is all on a big 9-foot by 12-foot screen. We're happy to have you here tonight, and for the next 3 hours, we have a program of music and dance and comedy for you, so enjoy the evening. And so for the next 3 hours, the people who had attended the dance would be entertained by their orchestra on screen, not in person. There were plans for many bands to be filmed for the Tilo View system, but only Flo Petty's orchestra. Flo Petty was an official for the New York Post Office. His was the only band that was filmed. Strangely enough, this was going to be sent out into rural areas, and the band is integrated. And you wouldn't think that would be really popular in many areas of the country. But a good friend of mine who's since passed away, Harvard Davis, is the trumpet player here, and he told me all about the production of these films. And he said, the three black members of the orchestra couldn't understand why they were there, but the paycheck was good, and so we just took the paycheck. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the session presentation for today. I hope you enjoy the films. I hope you are forgiving where the video quality is concerned. Remember, these are one-of-a-kind prints. In any case, please enjoy. Music is where you find it. Jukebox Shorts of the 1940s. Thank you.
stone like Elmer's old violin. Oh, there was a guy down on the farm, the best you ever seen, but he pinched his nose and strained his arms out of play an old accordion. His old man, now he went to college 14 years, he plays the cowboy band. Cowboy came to town one day, he was the best by far, and he stole the lady's heart away when he played on old guitar. Oh, there was a little frog in the old mill pond, it's singing he's the name. He broke, call him old Don Juan. He got a voice like a big string bass. And we got a singing trio and her band. I'm telling you, they're hot. The dough full of words, but here they stand. It gives you the best they got.
Sing, 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 sing.
I can swing most anything and make a hit, I know. For I'm the kind inclined to be aesthetic. But when it comes to playing golf, my swinging just won't go. I guess I'm not the type to be athletic. When I step out on the golf course, I'm in heaven. When I'm winding up the ball, it's ecstasy. But it doesn't mean a thing when so terrifically I swing, cause the widow ball just sits upon a tee. When the strokes that I have missed are 6 or 7, I would wonder why the fellas laughed at me. I thought it was my knickers that was causing all the snickers, but it must have been the ball upon the tee. Some folks even get a hole in one, but I'm not that energetic. The only strokes that I can get are sun and power wittic. How I wish that I could put one down the fairway. What a happy individual I would be. But I'm afraid my widow caddy will go up and be a daddy by the time I hit the ball. I wish that I could put one down the fairway. But the widow ball is missing from the tee. Whee! Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, the program notes will be up here after the next presentation. If you enjoy audiovisual entertainment, as George mentioned, I have a program, 2 hours of music film clips. It's not all jazz. There's some country western. There's some plain country. There's a lot of jazz dance. For some reason, the program name didn't get into the schedule. My company name, Celluloid Improvisations, did, but the name of the program is I've Just Gotta See It, and it ain't on YouTube. MOP. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and stick around for the next presentation.